This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Something's Brewing, your Texas Longhorn football recruiting podcast here on the Yak. I am your host, Jason Sukumel, back to, talk what else? Recruiting and whatever else we can think of, but we got some things to touch on this week. It won't be the most uplifting podcast for you Texas recruiting junkies. I mean, let's be honest, there's not a lot positive going on. And it's funny, when I last recorded this, Something's Brewing, it was about a week and a half ago. Wasn't quite 2 weeks ago. We'll call it a week and a half ago. And Jeff Ketchum, Orange Blood's publisher, Jeff Ketchum joined me, my first actual guest. And I kind of went back. I didn't re-listen to it, but I went back and just looked at the headlines of what I'd put on that podcast, that episode. And I had called it like a big picture viewpoint of Texas recruiting. And man, how things have changed in a week and a half. When Ketch and I were talking, we were mentioning that Texas just didn't have a lot of momentum. But man, things didn't look as bad as they suddenly turned in the middle of last week. And let's go ahead and start with the big news. And we've talked about it on Orange Bloods. I know Ketchum and Dustin McComas talked about it last Wednesday night, if you listen to their podcast. Now it's my turn to kind of hash out the big news of the last week or so, and that's the decommitment of Quinn Ewers, the 2025 star quarterback who had been committed to Texas for a couple months. He announced on Wednesday that he was opening up his commitment. And I did not record it in kind of an instant analysis podcast. Ketch asked me, and I was like, man, thankfully Dustin jumped on. I had when that happened on Wednesday night, you've probably heard me say this on the podcast before. I think I've said this 100 times throughout my life. I said, I feel like I'm a doctor who's always on call with this job on sometimes. Well, let me explain a little bit about my Wednesday. First off, I have a cousin in Colorado. He and I are pretty close. He just happened to be coming through Austin on Wednesday. He actually flew into Austin and was going to San Antonio. So we had plans, about a month in advance. He was going to come by, spend some time with me and my family Wednesday night. He's close with my kids. They all love him. So we were going to hang out Wednesday night, kind of a spur of the moment thing. Maybe I'll talk about this later, but we actually adopted a puppy on last week. And lo and behold, my wife went and picked this puppy up and drove all the way to Oklahoma to get this puppy and came home on Wednesday afternoon about 5 o'clock. And then a couple hours later, the Quinn Ewers news breaks. So all hell broke loose at the absolute worst time. I'm trying to spend time with a family member I don't get to see, but every 2 or 3 years, trying to help my family enjoy this and enjoy it myself, a puppy that we've brought home. And lo and behold, Quinn Ewers decided to commit Wednesday night. So the timing from a personal level sucked, but for the timing for you Texas fans just sucked whenever that news was going to come out. So the news on Quinn Ewers, it was kind of interesting how that came about. I actually got word on Tuesday night, and I'm not kidding, I'm lying in bed, it's like 10:30, I'm already awake, but I'm exhausted. Like I said, my wife was gone, so I had to get up early the next day. I was fully on kid duty by myself and getting ready for school, this, that, and the other. So normally I'd be up Tuesday night, no problem. Well, this Tuesday night I'd gone to bed pretty early. I'm lying in bed playing on my phone, and I get a text from another Rivals.com reporter, and it says, I don't think he'll mind me saying it was Sam Spiegelman, who does a fantastic job covering the state of Texas for us and in Louisiana and a couple other states. But Sam texted me and said, "Hey, I'm hearing Quinn Ewers is going to decommit tomorrow," meaning on Wednesday. And Sam and I were texting back, and I'm like, I actually should pull up my text as I talk. I was like, I don't know that he's going to decommit on Wednesday. And I said, that rumor had been out there for a couple weeks, but to me, the timing of it just didn't make a lot of sense. And I didn't take it that seriously. I thought, in talking to Sam, it was just kind of a rumor. And I was like, I think it might head that way eventually. But as I'm trying to pull up this text, my big thumbs won't let me. I thought it might head that way eventually. But I told Sam, I was like, I don't think it's going to happen that quickly. I think Quinn Ewers will wait to see what happens with the Texas coaches. And if they bring in Urban Meyer, like some people are speculating. So, I just didn't take the text message that seriously. Well, then, and Sam kind of agreed with me. He goes, yeah, I'm hearing it from an Ohio State source. And the next morning, we get up, and I immediately set notifications on my – I cannot find that text message. I'm sorry if I'm a little distracted. I can't find it. But I set notifications on my phone when Sam sent me that. So any tweet from Quinn Ewers or people close to him, I was like, okay, it'll pop up on my phone. Well, Wednesday morning, I'm thinking, oh, man, is this going to happen like 7 o'clock Wednesday morning possibly? Again, wasn't taking it that seriously, but I was on guard just in case. Well, throughout the day Wednesday, just there was more and more smoke, okay? There was – you had a couple crystal ball predictions or future casts or whatever the hell they were coming in for other 2022 players to go to Ohio State, included Caleb Burton, the wide receiver out of Del Valle, who's really close with Quinn Ewers. That just kind of started the talk about, hey, is Quinn Ewers going to Ohio State? Because Caleb Burton said he wants to play with Quinn Ewers. Well, as that day went on, man, again, more and more smoke. I'm talking to my Orange Bloods guys on Slack, and I'm like, hey, I'm hearing more and more about this Quinn Ewers stuff. This stuff is really bubbling up again. You know, I told them, I heard last night it might happen today. I said, I'm not saying it's for sure going to happen, but let's be on alert. And sure enough, at about 9, well, I don't remember what time it was. It was Wednesday night. I think it was like 9 o'clock. It's pretty late. Quinn Ewers announces he had opened up his commitment and was no longer committed to Texas. Just a devastating, devastating blow for Texas recruiting overall. For that 2022 class, just a monumental recruiting loss for that 2022 class. And like I said, it kind of came to a head pretty quickly. But truth be told, I've been hearing rumors about Ewers and just him having some concerns or doubts about his commitment going back to early October. You know, I knew then. I mean, listen, schools like Ohio State and Alabama and Clemson and pretty much every other school in the country is still going to recruit that kid. And they were still recruiting that kid. Texas was off to a bad start. Texas's offensive line recruiting hasn't been very good. So the timing of it was pretty abrupt, the way it all kind of just bubbled up really in about a 24-hour span, it seemed. But truth be told, these rumors have been floating around for quite a while. So the obvious question is, what does this mean for Texas? How big of an impact is Texas going to feel from this decommitment, and just what's it mean for the program moving forward? I mean, this is a Texas program, let's be honest, doesn't have a lot of momentum in the 2021 class. And, you know, a lot of people, if you just only focus on the 2021 class, it's been a disappointing cycle. It certainly has. There's no way to spin it. But I think people have kind of been able to give Texas a bit of a pass on that, because there's been such high hopes for that 2022 class. And those high hopes were pinned on Quinn Ewers being in Austin and him being the Pied Piper that was going to bring all these elite wide receivers to Texas. It's a deep year for wide receiver talent in 2022. Offensive linemen that wanted to play with Quinn Ewers. You've had defensive players saying they want to play with Quinn Ewers. So I almost feel like fans were giving Texas a little bit of a pass on that 2021 class that's been disappointing because there were such high hopes for 2022. Well, those are kind of out the door now. I mean, I'm not saying Texas still can't recruit well in 2022, but you can't use Quinn Ewers as kind of your foundation piece or your launching pad, if you will. So Quinn Ewers decommits on Wednesday, and case in point, the following day, and whoever didn't see this coming is blind, Faison Wilson, the wide receiver out of Lancaster, he decommits. So Texas has three commitments going into last week in that 2022 class. Coming out of the week, they have one commitment left from Jalen Gilbo. And obviously, I think you've got to keep an eye on him as well. And just the loss of Quinn Ewers is going to impact Texas's chances with some of their top receivers, Armani Winfield, Evan Stewart, those types of guys. So I don't know. This is just a bad, bad trend for Texas. I'm not telling y'all anything you don't know if you're a Longhorn recruiting fan listening to this podcast, but it's a tough cycle for Texas to break. And we'll get into that a little bit later. I'm just kind of going to jump all over the place here, but I'm going to dip into the mailbag a little bit later and answer some questions that people sent in. But so what does Texas do now? Well, interestingly, on Saturday night, fresh off the big win over Oklahoma State in Stillwater, Texas puts an offer on the table, Mike Yurcich does, for Cade Klubnik, the quarterback out of Austin Westlake. Fantastic player, really good prospect. I like the offer. The timing of it, though, was, you know, it's be honest. I mean, it came, what, 4 days after Quinn Ewers decommitted. So, you know, the timing, it almost gets has the feeling of, okay, we know we're out of it with Ewers. We're not getting that kid back. So let's kind of start evaluating some other targets. Who might be someone that would be willing to come on board? They put an offer out for Cade Klubnik. And I talked to Cade on Sunday afternoon, so a couple days ago as I record this. It's Tuesday morning. And, you know, he is very interested in that Texas offer. He's an Austin Westlake kid. He knows Sam Ellinger. But he's not one that I'm looking to as a guy that's just going to jump on board at that offer. You know, he's got some pretty good offers, including Georgia just offered. He's been talking to Clemson, Ohio State. He's got quite a few offers, probably pushing 25 offers now. Very intrigued by the Texas offer, but tells me he wants to really take his time, see what happens with this COVID stuff. Maybe in January, if he can start going to take some visits, he wants to do that kind of stuff. His parents are A&M grads. We talked about that. But he said, you know, I'm really not an A&M fan. He told me he doesn't really have any strong allegiances to any school. I mean, he's familiar with Texas, of course, being in Austin. But he even told me, he goes, yeah, you know, I really haven't gone up there really. I just got a real detailed look at the program or even the University of Texas campus. So he might do that pretty soon, maybe go to a Texas game and go just kind of see the campus and do one of those self-guided tours. But, you know, I think Texas will be a major player there. It just makes sense. I mean, the kid's from Austin Westlake. He's a quarterback. I mean, Texas better be a player there. But I don't get the impression that Cade Klubnik's a guy that's going to necessarily beat down the door to get to Texas over everybody else. I think he's going to do his homework, do his evaluations, take some visits, and take his time. That's what he told me. So, you know, there are other options. There's always going to be quarterback talent in the state of Texas. But 2 months ago, we were using terms like generational talent for Quinn Ewers. Rivals has him as the number one quarterback prospect in the country. I think 24/7 Sports, I think he's still their number one overall prospect in the country. I mean, those are the types of guys programs are built around, championship programs are built around. You see what Alabama's done with their recruiting across the board, five stars, but they do. Hey, I got news for you. They get some pretty good quarterbacks in there too. You look at what Clemson's done with really good quarterback recruiting. You look at what LSU did with Joe Burrow. And Joe Burrow wasn't Quinn Ewers coming out of high school, but I'm just saying elite quarterbacks make a difference from championship-level teams to teams that are just constantly looking up at those programs. And I mean, this is a very slippery slope for Texas. This 2021 class is hovering around that top 20 mark. I think it'll probably finish in the top 20, but just barely. And that's not good enough if you're the Texas Longhorns. That's good enough if you are Oklahoma State. That's really good if you're Iowa State. That's not good enough for the University of Texas. That's the kind of class, if Texas A&M had that class, all you Longhorn fans listening to this podcast would be poking fun at Texas A&M, especially in a year when there's so much depth in the state, there's top-end talent. Texas had all this momentum going back into the summer of 2019, and people were talking about it being the number one class in the country. Now we're saying, hey, it's going to be top 20-ish. Yeah, it'll be top 20-ish. Well, that's just not good enough. And, you know, you can say, oh, hey, this Texas will nail their evaluations. It'll be a much better class than the rankings indicate or than it looks on paper. Well, that's possible. That's very possible. And this staff seems to have a good eye for talent, but I don't care what you say, that's not how you win championships. Nick Saban is not Nick Saban because he is that much better of a game day coach than everybody else. He is better. He's just not, maybe not that much better. He's not, Nick Saban is not who he is because he evaluates talent so much better than everybody else. And he brings in these three and low four-star rated recruits and coaches them into first-round draft picks. No, Nick Saban takes about five-star prospects a year. Maybe that's a bit of an exaggeration, but he gets, you know, five of the top 30 prospects or 40 prospects, 50 prospects in the country every single year. So does Dabo Swinney. So is Georgia's doing it now under Kirby Smart. I mean, so does Ohio State. That's what made Urban Meyer Urban Meyer. I mean, those guys are good coaches, but they're not head and shoulders above everybody else because they're just brilliant minds above everybody else. They have that much better talent. You can recruit this class I mentioned that Texas has in 2021. I mean, it's a class on par with, you know, I'll say Oklahoma State, but Oklahoma State really doesn't even recruit that well. But it's a class that you could look at and say, okay, hey, Texas gets some good finds in there. Charles Wright turns out to be a fantastic college player at quarterback for Texas. It could be a conference championship type of class. It could be. I wouldn't count on that with the way Oklahoma's recruiting, but I'm just saying you catch lightning in a bottle on a couple of these guys. You can win conference championships with those types of classes and be competitive in the Big 12. We've seen, again, Oklahoma State. We've seen TCU. We've seen Baylor doing it. We haven't seen Texas do it, and Texas hasn't been competitive, really. They're consistently competitive when they've recruited top five classes. So now we're saying, hey, they're going to recruit a borderline top 20 class and maybe follow that up with something similar in 2022, and we're expecting Texas to compete for conference championships. I don't know. That seems like a bit of a stretch to me. And then if you're looking beyond that and saying, hey, you know, Texas is going to compete for a spot in the college football playoff and be a legitimate national title contender, I don't see it, man. I don't think any coach in college football can consistently recruit classes that kind of hover around that top 20 and compete for national championships. You have to have elite-level recruiting. The way Pete Carroll did it when he was at USC, the way Mack Brown did it at Texas, the way Urban Meyer has done it at Ohio State, and now Ryan Day, the way Clemson and Georgia and Alabama do it, the way LSU, I mean, LSU, it's elite talent that LSU recruits. I mean, Ed Orgeron may be a fine enough coach, but he also stockpiles a lot of talent because he's a damn good recruiter. So, and he did kind of catch lightning in a bottle with Joe Burrow and two white-hot coordinators who were exceptional on both sides of the ball. But those scenarios don't happen very often. Usually it's about stockpiling high-level, top national recruits, doing it year after year after year after year where you have depth and you can afford if you have eight guys out of the national top 100, if only three or four of them pan out, that's okay. You'll take that hit rate and you just keep doing it every single year. And before you know it, I mean, you got a program with a lot of high-end talent, a lot of first-round draft picks, and Texas isn't there, and they can't afford to have this type of 2021 class potentially spill forward into 2022, and it's going to be tough to recover. So, again, not good news for Texas. They lost two of their three commitments. They're hanging on to Jalen Gilbo, the cornerback out of Port Arthur Memorial, but not a good development there. So now we look at the 2021 class. You know, Texas had a decommitment from Billy Bowman recently. We've talked about that. Well, Billy Bowman just this week winds up committing to Oklahoma. That's a huge blow, man. I mean, it's been talked about on the boards. I mean, it's not a surprise. Anybody who's been paying attention knew it was coming when he decommitted, but Billy Bowman is one of those types of players that I said, Alabama gets five of them every class, and so does Georgia, and so does Clemson. That's why they're so good. So does Ohio State. He was one of two that Texas has. You could argue Jatavion Sanders being the other. Well, now Texas is down to one, and they're going to have to work to hang on to Jatavion Sanders. Billy Bowman now is on Oklahoma's commitment list. Oklahoma's probably got, if I was to pull up Oklahoma's commitment list, and I'll try to talk as I do this, it'll take me a minute. They've got several of those national top 50 type guys. So, I mean, Texas hasn't been able to beat Oklahoma. They beat them once when Tom Herman's here, but Texas hasn't been able to beat Oklahoma when Texas has recruited top five-ish type classes. What's going to happen when Texas is hovering around that top 20 and you've got Oklahoma recruiting, you know, number one players in the, or number one quarterbacks in the country. Now they're loading up on Billy Bowman, and Oklahoma's got like the number one receiver in the country committed. I mean, that separation, that gap is widening in the talent level at Texas and Oklahoma. It just is. And, you know, I'm sure people at Texas in the football department would probably argue with me and say, hey, they're not worried about it. They're going to be just fine. Well, they're not recruiting at a level that's just fine compared to Oklahoma. I mean, Oklahoma, Mario Williams, wide receiver, five-star prospect commitment. Caleb Williams, the number one quarterback in the country, committed. Billy Bowman, The former Texas, the highest ranked Texas commitment, former Texas commitment, is now on Oklahoma's commitment list. I mean, he's a five-star type talent. Clayton Smith is a guy that Texas really wanted. Kelvin Gilliam is a high four-star defensive lineman Texas recruited. He ends up going to Oklahoma. I mean, if you look at the Rivals 100 prospects, I mean, Oklahoma is just blowing the doors off of Texas, and I don't know that it's going to get any better anytime soon. Now, people ask, hey, what happens if Texas runs the table this year? Well, that's going to help, but you know, I think it's almost too late for Texas in 2021. I mean, you know, Longhorns are looking for wide receivers, big outside receivers. They made a move on a receiver out of Louisiana named Jack Beck last week. They offered Jack Beck. I talked to Jack Beck. He really likes Texas. Well, he winds up committing to LSU over the weekend, and that wasn't totally unexpected. He's got ties to LSU, but this is a guy that Texas really liked, and in years past, I mean, I think he's a guy that gives Texas a little bit of a look, but as it stands right now, man, you know, in the 2021 class, I mean, Texas is trying to fight to hold on to their footing with guys like L.J. Johnson, guys like linebacker Terrence Cooks. You know, Texas has to be able to close on those guys. If not, I don't know where the rest of this class comes from. I mean, they've got some fringe players there, you know, J.J. Henry and those types who are, and I'm not taking away from J.J. Henry. I think he's an underrated prospect. He's a three-star type guy. But, you know, they've got guys that are still recruiting, but those high-level, top-end, top-shelf guys are not likely to come Texas's way in that 2021 class. Now, if Texas ends up winning out and runs the table or something and goes on to win the Big 12 championship, and even that feels like a stretch. I mean, I feel like I'm saying if this happens and if this happens and if this happens and if this happens, then maybe they have a good 2022 recruiting class. That's a lot of ifs to maybe to just get to that maybe. So, you know, if Texas wins out, if Texas goes to the Big 12 championship game, if they win the Big 12 championship game, then we're truly talking in December. Hey, this is a Texas team that's built a lot of momentum. There's a buzz about this Texas team again. You know, I think they can parlay that into some 2022 success with guys like, you know, I mentioned Cade Klubnik, the quarterback. I mean, maybe they can get Tavoris Jones, Jaden Blue, the running back. Maybe they can get some of these receivers, guys like Caleb Burton, Evan Stewart, Armani Winfield. Maybe. All feels like a bit of a long shot right now without Quinn Ewers. But, you know, recruiting opinions can change pretty quickly. Certainly, if we're talking about mid-December and Texas is coming off of a Big 12 championship, the recruiting landscape for Texas is going to look a lot different than it did now, or than it does now. So, but that's a lot of ifs and buts, and who knows what's going to happen with this Texas staff. Is Tom Herman even going to be there? You know, obviously the big game changer here as it relates to Texas, and I'm going to just jump into this kind of mailbag. Some of these questions people asked. I mean, I put on our message board, hey, send me some recruiting questions. And I think 60% of them probably are on, hey, what happens if Urban Meyer? Is there any way Texas can salvage recruiting in 2021 or even 2022? You know, the obvious answer is, and listen, again, this is not me advocating for a coaching change. That's not my job. That's not who I am. But if Texas wants to, we're talking from a recruiting perspective, get an immediate shot in the arm and take this thing up about five notches, yeah, you go out and hire someone like Urban Meyer. That's going to elevate Texas's recruiting efforts overnight. It just is. So, you know, some of these questions that people asked, should we, Texas, be hoping to gain commitments for more four or even three-star players now that we've had decommitments, or should we be hoping to get some of these guys back? And my answer to that is, hey, if you're talking 2022 recruits, you know, I it's a little early to say where Texas's chances are. Let's see, you know, what happens with the remainder of this season. Could Texas get a guy like Quinn Ewers back and Faison Wilson? No, that's not happening, man. I think that door is closed. I do think if Texas, and I feel pretty firmly about this, if Texas was to get Urban Meyer, I think Quinn Ewers would give Texas a look if he's not already committed to a place like Ohio State. But if Quinn Ewers waits 3 or 4 months to decide if Texas makes a coaching change in that time span, and it winds up being someone like Urban Meyer, I think there's a chance they can get Quinn Ewers back. If not, I think fans need to just kind of quit holding out hope on that. There's a reason Texas offered Cade Klubnik. I think Texas knows that's a pipe dream under this current staff. It's just not going to work out. So, you know, can Texas get some of those guys back? I don't see it. Can Texas start winning some four or three star type guys? Yeah, there's, I mentioned guys like LJ Johnson and Terrence Cooks, but if you're counting on Texas winning some games and pulling some of these decommitments back, or guys that really had cooled on Texas, pulling them back in, I don't see it that much. I don't see it happening that much. This guy said, I'm very worried about the future. Something substantial and bold has to happen, and soon. Do you believe a change in coaching can salvage at least some of 2021? And my response to that was, there is time to salvage some of the 2021 class with or without a coaching change. If Texas can close on a guy like LJ Johnson that I mentioned, the Rivals 100 running back. But I said, you know, that's not going to be easy with LJ. I mean, I think Texas's footing with LJ and some of these other guys is not as good, certainly, as it was a month ago. But yeah, I mean, if Texas had a substantial change, and let's just call it what it is, Urban Meyer, yeah, I think they could salvage some of 2021. But the bigger impact, I think, would be felt in that 2022 class. You know, if I scroll down again, I keep going through these questions, and they're fairly repetitive, but the same thing is on everybody's mind. So I don't have a problem with it. Someone said, if Urban Meyer is hired within 2 weeks, so let's say if you're looking at it from a disastrous perspective for Texas on the field, let's say Texas goes out and is upset by West Virginia this week. They have an off week after that, and who knows, maybe Texas pulls the plug and makes a move. I mean, there's no way Urban Meyer is hired within 2 weeks. I think that's a pipe dream. But if Urban Meyer is hired within 2 weeks, how many recruits do you think he is legitimately capable of flipping back? And who do you think is most likely? And he says, please say Ewers in parentheses. And again, man, I'm going to say it again. Flipping guys back in this 2021 class, that's just probably not going to happen. I mean, I don't think Billy Bowman's going to come running back to Texas. I don't think Jalen Milroe is going to come running back to Texas if Urban Meyer is hired. I think in 2022, you'd see a big boom. I think I could see a guy like Quinn Ewers and maybe Faison Wilson flipping back to Texas in that 2022 class. But I don't think in 2021. I think they'd recruit well in 2021. I think he'd be able to add a few pieces and maybe close on guys who are waiting until January or February, maybe close on a guy like LJ Johnson. But I don't think you're going to see this. I mean, Texas is at 17 commitments. I don't think you're going to see a huge wave of five-star players in 2021 wanting to play for Texas all of a sudden because Urban Meyer was there. Again, all this is hypothetical. Two more that I think these were two pretty good questions. Someone asked me how much of the quote-unquote noise is hurting recruiting. And there's so much noise with this Texas program. I said, I don't exactly know what noise this person's talking about. Is he talking about the eyes of Texas? Is he talking about Tom Herman's job being on the hot seat? Is he talking about some of the social issues, you know, just on campus? I mean, there's so much noise, it's hard to pinpoint what he is talking to. But if we're taking a collective look at the noise, all the things I mentioned, it's definitely hurting. None more so than Tom Herman's job stability and the kind of unrest among fans and players because, A, the way Texas has played on the field, and, B, there's been some friction among the fan base and the Texas players just who haven't necessarily seen eye to eye all the time this year. So though that noise absolutely is hurting Texas. I mean, Tom Herman being on the hot seat and these recruits not knowing if he's going to be back next year is hurting Texas with uncommitted players. It's hurting Texas with committed guys. And you know, we talked about Billy Bowman flipping. Listen, man, I mean, there's another question that I wasn't going to address. Someone said, do I think there'll be any more decommitments before the end of the year? And my answer is yes, I think there will be, especially, you know, if Herman's job continues to be on unstable ground. I mean, put yourself in these teenager shoes. If you're a recruit, wouldn't you be at least exploring backup options right now in case something happened with your current coaching staff, in case things went in the tank with Texas? So, yeah, I do think there'll be – I don't know who it's going to be. I'm not going to throw names out there. I don't think that's fair to the kids because I haven't heard of any names who are looking to decommit. But I did say in this Q&A, I said I'd be surprised if we didn't see at least one, maybe even more than one if we're counting the 2022 class in terms of decommitments before national signing day. I mean, guys are keeping their eyes on other options, and it just makes sense. And the last, and kind of ties into that, and this will be my last recruiting question. Someone asks my percentage that Jatavion Sanders ends up sticking in the class. And Jatavion Sanders, as you all know, it's been a long-time commitment to Texas. Defensive lineman slash wide receiver, Denton Ryan, teammate of Billy Bowman's. You know, and my answer to that is that I wish I had a better answer. Jatavion is a tough, tough kid to read. He doesn't talk very much. People close to him have gone silent. So he's a mystery as much now as he ever was. So, you know, you've seen on Twitter this week, Billy Bowman is actively recruiting him to Oklahoma all of a sudden. So you talk about just a gut punch for Texas, man. I mean, just catastrophic. Again, Billy Bowman, losing Billy Bowman, Quinn Ewers, it's been a tough couple weeks for Texas. But what I had been told, now this was last week, before Billy Bowman officially committed to Oklahoma, I had been told that Sanders had not been very receptive to Oklahoma's recruiting efforts. Now, maybe that's changed. I got to think he's probably listening a little bit more now that Billy Bowman is up there. I put this as a total guess on my part, but Jatavion kind of marches to the beat of his own drum. I don't necessarily think he and Billy Bowman are attached at the hip by any means. I put it at 55%. So I'm leaning towards Jatavion Sanders staying in the Texas class. But again, he's a bit of a wild card. So he's a tough nut to crack and a tough guy to read. So, you know, it's not been a good run for Texas. I mean, Jeff Ketchum and I recorded a podcast. It hasn't even been 2 weeks. So I think it's probably closer to a week and a half ago. And the tone then wasn't good. And the tone now is a lot worse. And I hate to be Debbie Downer in this podcast, and I should have probably warned you, hey, if you're looking for good news, you might want to just skip this edition. There's just not a lot of good news to be found. I'd have to really search and kind of grasp to find some good news. You know, maybe that changes. You've got Terrence Cooks looking to decide in a little less than 2 weeks. You know, maybe Texas can nab a much-needed commitment there. Maybe they can find a way to build some momentum with this 2022 group, if they can string together two or three more wins and really put themselves in position to make the Big 12 championship game. But there's a lot of work to be done. And, you know, you can still see a glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel, but it's getting more and more faint, it feels like, by the week in terms of recruiting success for Texas. So we'll keep plugging away. We'll keep seeing where this road takes us. It's been a very up and down since I started recording these podcasts. I mean, you talk about peaks and valleys, and we are in a definite valley now. And I said this on Orange Blood. Someone asked me, and I can't remember a time when I've seen a Texas program in my 20 years of covering recruiting. I can't remember seeing a time when there's been such a lack of recruiting momentum. And when you factor in where Texas recruiting efforts were, you know, when Quinn Ewers committed and when they were off to such a hot start in the 2021 class, I never in my wildest dream would have imagined Texas would be struggling the way it is right now. And it's, you know, it even hurts Texas more when you got A&M's recruiting well, and obviously Oklahoma's doing well, and LSU isn't playing well, but they're still recruiting well. So it's just a double whammy for Texas fans. And wish I had a way to sugarcoat it and build you guys up, but it's hard to find a silver lining right now with Texas recruiting. So on that note, on that sour note, I'm going to let you all off the hook and ask you all to maybe back away from the ledge that I've driven you to. Hopefully brighter days are ahead for everybody. For Texas, we'll have better things to talk about coming up. But I appreciate everybody kind of sitting in with me, suffering through this 30-plus minute podcast with me. My name is Jason Sukumel. This is Something's Brewing, your Longhorn recruiting podcast. As always, I greatly appreciate you all giving me some of your time. Have a great week. Everybody stay safe, stay healthy, and we will talk soon. Take care.